right now on VFN TV, why are millennials socialists? What's happening with socialism in America and the world? We're going to take a look at what it really is. We're going to look at college debt and how it needs to be done away with and why it's there. We're going to look at Venezuela, Brazil, and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Can you believe that? Think about this. Why are so many millennials socialists? What's their thinking? Social? They're living in a democracy and a republic, but they're thinking socialism. And it's actually democracy and a republic that brought them the college, their home, their success, the wealth, and all the things that are happening. What are the universities teaching our children? What are schools teaching our children? Because that would be the millennials. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, this is amazing when you think about, you know the question. I think Emily, is it Ekins?
Ekins. She's from the Cato Institute. Yeah. Uh-huh, she's being interviewed on Blaze TV. Mm-hmm. And she begins to break down and share, listen, the reason why these guys are so much into socialism is because they have a different picture, not an accurate picture. In fact, listen to Emily as she kind of breaks it all down for us.
And another thing, though, is that Scandinavia actually isn't socialist. And that's what's so funny is that young people today don't know what the word means. They don't know what it meant during the Cold War. They don't know what the technical definition is. And so for them, they think of socialism as just being, you know, Scandinavia, which is a much bigger social welfare state. That's right. It's interesting because Tea Party supporters are actually the most likely group to be able to accurately define socialism when asked to. So, for instance, the actual definition of socialism is something like government ownership of the means of production. So, if you gave some kind of definition like that, then you were counted as having defined it accurately, according to a CBS New York Times poll. And 57% of Tea Party supporters could answer that correctly. Only 16% of millennials could, and only about, if I remember correctly, about 20% of Democrats could define it correctly. So, for whatever reason, Republicans have a better understanding as to what socialism.
That's so important to understand that, you know, that they have, the Scandinavian countries have a democracy, but they have a big heart in regards to democracy and a big, you know, welfare, being able to help people out, which is great.
We do too.
Actually,
we
bigger because we're actually,
we have more money.
You can bet about those countries in one of our states, you know,
that's
you compare the population.
Is like the biggest laugh is like, oh, they're so generous. The United States is the most generous country in the world.
Well, yeah, that's so important to understand, John. When you think about this, that America, they always compare us to other countries, but America's 350 million folks. Canada is 38 million, just 38 million.
Yeah.
That's the population of California, right?
35 million.
35 million. So you can't compare Canada because you have to provide this stuff for 350 million folks. That's a lot of folks.
It's a lot of people.
But the economy does that. But we're going to look at it because people are talking socialism, but they don't know what the definition is. We can see why they took away the definition of life.
And really, it's economy, right? It's really what we're talking about.
Yeah. So let's take a look at this, John. It's the definition of socialism. Read this to us. According to
Merriam-Webster.
Merriam-Webster, okay.
Any of various economic and political theories advocating collective or governmental ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods.
Before you go to the next slide, look at this. It says government ownership of your company.
Yeah.
People who don't own companies want the government to own your company. Yeah.
Production and administrative. So they're going to produce it and they're going to
administrate it.
They're pass
gonna
say, it out, give it out.
This is how many cookies you need to make. This is how many burgers you need to make.
Well, this is what we're going to give you. You're going to get two cookies today or
right,
three cookies.
Right, right, right.
These benefits.
Right, exactly. Okay. And the rest of it?
Okay. A system of society or group living in which there is no private property. China.
Yeah, China. I think about China that, you know, some of the people in the church in China that, you know, that you have a covert church that's there because the government is an atheistic communist government.
They're over the church.
Yeah, they're over the
church. It's a government church.
The CC, 3C church, whatever they call it. So the I wouldn't say the real church, but most of the church is the largest part of the church in the world, I believe, there in India, is undercover. So when they find out the church is meeting in a house in China, they push they take a bulldozer and just push the house over. If they have a business that you've been doing business in for the last 400 years in your family, you know, China,
yeah,
they can push that over because they own the land. They own the land, no ownership of land. And so when you have people like, what's the three-letter Brooklyn congresswoman that's talking
AOC.
About?
AOC.
You know, AOC, that stands for?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, she's, I mean, she's, you know, it's just totally opposite. She has no knowledge of America. She's not informed, and things she's saying, doesn't fit in America. But she can go to China, and she would fit right in. But they wouldn't even let her talk there.
Well,
in
it's
China.
A perfect case in point, because even as she was talking, she says she's a socialist, and was into the Green Deal, and many people were rallying behind her. The Green Deal is an excellent thing. But when they actually took it to the Senate floor to actually vote for it, 57 opposed it. 47 decided to vote present, and zero said yay, yes.
But these are presidential candidates that are running for the Democratic DNC head of the party to compete against whoever President Trump is going to be in the election.
Right.
And they're going so far left, they're left of the left. Even the people that were left don't even claim that left
anymore.
But
it's even rhetoric. It's not even reality because they were just talking like they were with her. When it came to vote, they don't even believe it themselves.
100%, John, who said they were for it, didn't vote for it when Mitch McConnell brought it up for a vote in the Senate.
And that's why these millennials are confused. They're being duped. They're being lied to. They're seeing politicians say one thing, but in reality, they're not even voting for the very thing that they said they're supporting.
Speaking of lies, you know, now this particular investigation has come out, and Mueller has
delusion, collusion is
delusion,
what he
collusion.
Said.
There was no evidence of collusion, a crime for the president with Russia and all that. But the ratings of all these news broadcast stations, such as CNN, the reports are allegedly
MSNBC.
They've dropped
allegedly.
By, what was the thing, statistic?
40%.
Their audience dropped by 40%, some reports said allegedly. And 24 hours of their program, all 24 hours, not any of them are over a million viewers. They've lost their viewership. Why? Because they lied to the people for so long. And that's why it's so important. That's why we do what we do at VFN TV and VFN Kingdom Business, is that somebody's got to say the truth. And not only are we talking truth, that you can always go wherever you're watching us, you can look below. There's always references to what we're saying, sources of where we got it from. When you see a book like I Will Fight, you know, my book, for example, right here, it has page after page of footnotes to let you know where you can that information came from.
That's
you know what I'm saying? So you would know where to actually get it from. And you need to always look. If the book doesn't have any references or sources to it, don't even read it, because it's somebody trying to change your mind like what's taking place. So now we have students that have went into the education system because a lot of their parents said, you got to get a degree. If you
got to get
a degree, you
got to
get a
degree.
That's
how it works.
And now they went to get the degree. They have this huge student debt, because the first thing that happens outside of Planned Parenthood talking to you on the campus is, hey, you can get a loan, low
That's
interest
right.
loan, you know, it's no problem at all.
You tell me who's not going to sign up for a loan when your frontal lobe's not fully developed yet.
Yeah, right.
That you don't have to qualify for, no incomes, guaranteed.
Yes.
And all you have to do is sign for it.
Right.
These students
right.
are leaving with $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $100,000 in debt that they have to pay for, I believe, 6 months after they graduate. It's not like when you get a chance.
And they sell you credit cards and Visas and MasterCards.
At 22 and 25%.
Well, we get back from the break. We're going to go firsthand. We're going to hear how students are talking about how their tuition is overcharging them. And listen, we want to comment below, write to us at friendsatvfnkb.com.
Yes.
We want to hear, you can have student debt. You could be out of college for 30 years and you still can have student debt.
Yes, you can.
You could be going to your grave after a long extended life and still have student debt.
Yes,
it's just
you
like
can.
Something that lingers on.
It doesn't
on,
go away.
Which means the universities are sucking people dry.
It's not just universities, because I tell you what, there's a lot of people you can owe. But you can never, never not pay the government. You got to pay that money back.
I thought it was a free country.
Oh, no. Okay. That loan's from Sally Mae. She wants her money back.
Listen, we got to go to break. When we get back, you're going to see firsthand how the students want to literally deal with the tuition, right?
Yes.
And how to respond to it. They want just debt forgiveness, right?
They want free college, and they want a job at guaranteed job at $15 an hour.
Oh, my goodness. Join us after the break.
Back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Students are wanting $15 an hour, right? John, take us there.
And $15 an hour, by the way, is $30,000 a year. I love how people just throw that money out.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's 30 grand. Well, Neil Cavuto is interviewing this student. They're having a million student march, I believe, mm-hmm. to demand these rights because they want free college, student debt cancellation, and minimum wage.
Is that it?
That's all.
Okay.
Well, $30,000.
Let's go there now.
Let's go there.
So what do you
totally
want
fine.
Here? What do you want?
So the movement, the Million Student March, is a movement for a more equitable and fair system of education, as opposed to the really corporate model that we have right now. So the three core demands of the National Day of Action are free public college, a cancellation of student debt, and a $15 an hour minimum wage for people who work on the campus.
And how's that going to be paid?
Great question. I'm not sure if you're talking on like a national level or at particular schools. I can sort of touch on both.
If you wanted all that stuff, someone asked to pick up the tab, who would that be?
The 1% of people in society that are hoarding the wealth and really sort of causing a catastrophe that students are facing. I mean, we have a relationship right now where 1% of the population owns more wealth than the 99% combined.
It was interesting that she didn't know where the money was going to come from after 4 years of college.
This
possibly?
Is a shame because somebody told this young girl this
right.
and she believed it, and she's on national television
right.
saying this stuff, and it's not true.
I believe the students, the people in their 20s and 30s are going to be so angry at the universities.
I believe so.
Because it's like if you get sold a product they don't deliver on the product, they should be liable for not
Absolutely.
Giving them an education. For not giving them an education that allowed them to get a job.
Listen, I
don't you think that
yes.
class action suit, they should take that up?
Listen, I was a part of that. I worked for in a season helping students go to school and pick their careers. And some of these students, they want to take these courses that are not going to result in them getting an actual real job when they graduate. Like, do you realize you're going to be taking on a mountain of debt? Yes, I do. And it just doesn't compute.
Right.
But it doesn't compute because they're banking on somebody else paying for it. And what this young lady didn't realize is that She's actually part of the 1% when you base that 1% around the world's wealth.
Yes.
She is the 1%.
She's the 1%. You think about it. Write to us below, comment below, write to us at friends at VFNKB.com. We want to be able to hear from you. But you're thinking about this, that I really believe that a four-year study in gender studies is not going to get you a job at a major industry. They're like, what did you study? It's like, well, there's only two. Anyway, so what did Dr. Thomas Sowell talk about
here? Because
we've got to look at what socialism is.
Yes,
right?
He's an economist, brilliant man. Who's being interviewed.
I believe he even worked for President Reagan.
Yes. And just has written a lot of great books on the economy. And he was a Marxist before. I think he even believed in communism. And just by the facts, he said, can't believe in this stuff anymore.
Right.
So it's okay to start that way. It matters where you end. But he's being asked about what these politicians, and one particular politician, Senator Bernie Sanders, has said and is continuing to say about socialism and why millennials are buying into this, you know, agenda, what he has to say about socialism. Take a look.
I'm hoping to use this conversation to apply the lessons of wealth, poverty, and politics to the current American scene and have you tell me what to think about certain statements and certain, well, you'll get the idea. Here's a quotation from Bernie Sanders, the Vermont senator who nearly won the Democratic presidential nomination. Quote, quoting Bernie Sanders, while there are some great corporations, this is the question of causation versus blame, while there are some great corporations trying to do the right thing, in my view, and I say this very seriously, the greed of the billionaire class, the greed of the billionaire class, the greed of Wall Street is destroying the lives of millions of Americans, close quote. What do we make of that?
It's astonishing, but I think even more astonishing is how many people voted for Bernie Sanders at a time where in socialist Venezuela, people are starving. They're breaking into stores in their desperation to get some food. They're crossing the borders into other countries to stave off starvation. In a country that has one of the world's largest supplies of oil, that they've managed to do that in that country. And people are so utterly insulated from facts that the fact that Bernie Sanders paints a very beautiful picture is all that matters.
Bernie's just not being honest because he's an intelligent man, but his whole life, I believe some of the reports are allegedly that he, in the beginning of his life, he was living in a communal situation, you know, that stuff from the 60s and all.
Yeah.
But you think about this, we have people writing us from Venezuela saying, pray for us. They're saying, this is what they tell us in Venezuela, that if we speak our mind, we risk imprisonment for 20 years. The police come on, this is what they told us, that if the police come on the bus, when we have the bus, they can steal your money, they can rape you, they can do all these things to you, and you can't say anything about it. They just, you know, but I mean, it's crazy. Why would anybody in today see what socialism will do? Well, just take a look at Brazil. This is Brazil, somebody from Brazil talking about how socialism ruined their country. And by the way, they're turning around. But let's just look what happened to Brazil before their current president got into office. Let's take a look.
Many American millennials seem to be drawn to socialism. They came out in big numbers for Bernie Sanders in the 2016 presidential primaries. They rail against capitalism on their college campuses. They wear Che Guevara t-shirts to signal their socialist virtue. I know a lot about socialism. I live in Rio de Janeiro, and I work throughout Brazil as a journalist for a popular magazine. In the early 2000s, Brazil's economy was growing rapidly. The government had enacted economic and monetary reforms and divested holdings in some state-run companies, giving the private sector more room to breathe. Inflation, a chronic problem in Brazil, was dramatically reduced. Foreign investors poured into the country, eager to catch a portion of our expanding economy. The future seemed promising. But today, our economy is in shambles, unemployment and debt are massive, and powerful politicians are being investigated for involvement in the largest scandals of fraud and corruption in the country's history. What happened? In 2002, a socialist politician named Lula da Silva ran for the presidency. He was a socialist, but painted himself as a modern, cool kind of socialist. He would be the politician who would heal national divisions, and unite everyone. He even had a nickname, Lulinha Paz e Amor, which means Little Lula Peace and Love in Portuguese. But the old message about the need for income redistribution to decrease inequality was still there. The media, academic elite, and celebrities assured Brazilians that by transferring the money from the rich to the poor could finally be richer. But the only ones who really got rich were Lula and his corporate and political friends. It only got worse under his successor, Dilma Rousseff. The socialists increased government spending, deficits, and debt. They called it a stimulus. They increased the minimum wage and the benefits of social programs. They call it social justice. They increased the salaries and retirement benefits of the civil service. They called it investing in the future. They handed out thousands of jobs in the government and state-owned companies as favors to their political allies. And they called it good governance. It worked for a while. Socialism always works at the beginning. But government spending just kept going up, and then Lula's socialist paradise fell apart and the economy fell with it. The outcome? From 2008 to 2015, government spending grew nearly four times as fast as tax revenue. The economy shrank 3.8% in 2015, the worst result in 25 years. That same year, a World Bank survey found Brazil's economy to be one of the world's worst. Out of 189 countries, we were the 16th hardest place to open a business, the 60th most difficult nation in which to register property, and the 12th most complex place to pay taxes. Economically and morally, the almost 15 years of socialist policies have greatly harmed Brazil. We also remain among the world's leaders in murder and robbery, and we rank near the bottom of industrialized nations in terms of education and healthcare. Americans take it for granted that they can be born into the lower class and reach the middle or even upper class. Many Brazilians take it for granted that they can't. But finally, some things are starting to change. There may be reason for hope. Today, more and more Brazilians see that capitalism and limited government are the only way forward. Thankfully for Brazil, Lula has been charged in several lawsuits for corruption, involvement in a criminal organization, influence peddling, money laundering, and obstruction of justice. Rousseff was impeached in 2016 for falsifying the government's finances and illegally using money from state-owned banks to run the government. This crisis prompted the new government to freeze federal spending, reduce the government's role in state-owned companies, and to encourage some of the massive federal workforce to resign. No one knows whether these basic measures will be enough to rescue Brazil economically. Truthfully, the damage has been so extensive it may take decades for the country to recover. But if we do, it won't be socialism that saves us. American millennials, take note. I am Felipe Moura Brasil for Prager University.
Think about all these students who are embracing, these professors who are teaching these students to embrace socialism and selling them on this lie had destroyed Brazil, this huge country. Well, we want to hear from you. Comment below, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. We are hearing from you, Venezuela. We're hearing from you, Brazil. We know that you're speaking truth because you've experienced the great loss. Venezuela's in it right now, but we get back from the break. We got good news for you because they have a new president in Brazil. President
Bolsonaro,
who they call another Trump, because he is turning the nation of Brazil around. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
How does a happy, cooperative 12-year-old boy or girl suddenly turn into a sullen, depressed 13-year-old?
Here's Dr. James Dobson with Family Talk.
There are two powerful forces that overtake our kids in the early pubescent years and account for some of the strange behavior that drives parents crazy. The first is social in nature, with incredible pressures being inflicted on adolescents by the peer group. But the second, and I think more important, is hormonal in nature. We can see the effect of these hormones on the physical body, of course, but something equally dynamic is occurring in the brain. Human chemistry apparently goes haywire for a few years, affecting mind as well as body. This internal upheaval will motivate a boy or girl to do things that make absolutely no sense to the adults watching anxiously on the sidelines. There's a tendency for parents to despair during this period of transition. Everything they've tried to teach their sons and daughters seems to have misfired for several years. Self-discipline, cleanliness, respect for authority, the work ethic, even common courtesy may look like lost causes. But there's good news. Better days are coming, I promise. That's why perhaps the very best advice I can offer at this time is don't look too quickly for the person your child will become.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So good news for Brazil. Even though it was in major crisis, somebody came in and wished them peace and love and transference of wealth, and it destroyed their nation. Well, they have a new president, President Bolsonaro.
Bolsonaro.
And they call him the Trump of Brazil. And you know how President Trump, when he got into office, that you know, he embraced America, all of America, but he also embraced, you know, the Christian America. They said, come in and pray for me. He had the pastors come in and pray for him. And he said he wanted to be known as the one president was the most praying president by the time he gets out of office. And you pray to the Lord, Lord will answer. I mean, the Lord is just looking for us to humble ourselves and say we need help. And when you're praying, no matter what people say of you, if you're talking to God and you're looking, you're sincerely looking for help, he responds. Well, President Bolsonaro came to America to visit with Trump. As a matter of fact, they have we have a picture of him visiting with Trump in the Oval Office here.
He's giving him a jersey. They exchanged jerseys, soccer jerseys, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And so the President Bolsonaro gave him a jersey. But it matters who your leaders are.
Yes.
It really matters, because as you see, the United States leads all over the world. Whatever we do first, other nations typically follow. And here you have the president from Brazil asking Christian leaders to pray for him.
Yes.
Think about it, to
pray
for
when he came here. That's what he said. He wanted to make sure that he gets after, meets with the president before. He wanted to make sure that the Christian pastors would come and lay hands on him and pray for him. Because they're coming out of, 15 years of being under what Venezuela is under for a short period of time.
Sure.
What, 7 years or so, I guess it is.
And it's interesting what they say is that socialism works in the beginning. But then after a while, it falls apart.
Well,
and Margaret Thatcher said,
yeah,
that, you know, socialism is good until you run out of other people's money, you know.
And that's the thing is that it's just that people, it's based on greed and it's based on envy. The whole thing, every policy, you know, all the promotions, all the political statements, it's all about getting people to envy what other people have and say, that's my stuff.
It's an entitlement. I deserve that. So
it
to me.
One particular man talked about studying, you know, the fall of Russia and what happened, and they went into communism. He says that communism is the biggest temptation to a man's flesh. Mm. Socialism is the biggest temptation to a person's flesh, because your flesh is going, I don't want to work. Well, think about this. This is the American dream. The American dream is that you can work, you can learn hard and study actually what you're going to be doing in school so you can go do it, but work hard and you can know some people as well. And for example, let's say sports. You know, you work hard, you learn how to play ball, you learn how to do the different things you need to do to be sports. You know somebody and they get you this person, and that person refers you. And next thing you know, you work in this league and that league. And one day, they get you out there to be able to play with the National Football League. But you know what? When you get on the field, you still have to play ball.
Game.
If you're a quarterback, you got to run, you got to pass. If you're a receiver, you still have to receive. And that's what socialism is saying. We can get you on the field and you don't even have to play. It's a lie. You might not have to play for a month or two, but eventually as your whole nation falls, that embraces it. And every nation that has embraced it has always fallen every single time. Listen, I want to pray with you before you go. Comment below. Write to us at friends at VFNKB.com. Father God, I thank you for our audience. I bless them right now. Encourage them, Lord. Help them to just look within and look up and understand that with God, all things are possible. We can be the republic that you've called us to be. And dear God, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week,
download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
The spiritual avalanche that could kill millions. This is coming to you from a man who has just passed through the valley of the shadow of death. Since my close call with eternity just a short while ago, everything has become clearer. I can hear his whisper. Unabated obedience has become my mandate. That is why I'm writing this word from the Lord. Recently, after enjoying quality time with Jesus, I was surprised by an alarming vision. I saw a massive, majestic mountain covered in glistening snow. It reminded me of the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. Its peaks were sparkling white, and I was amazed by God's attention to detail. It was so realistic, I wanted to go skiing. But I sensed that there was more that the Holy Spirit was about to reveal. As I closed my eyes, I was in a winter wonderland, bustling with thousands of vacationers. The ski lodge, condos, hotels, and cabins were at full capacity at this popular resort. Day quickly turned to night as the skiers, snowboarders, and sports enthusiasts were settling in. Anticipation grew as the snow began to fall. Everyone headed to bed believing tomorrow would be a day of sheer enjoyment on freshly covered slopes. For an avid skier, the exhilaration of being the first one to race down a new blanket of snow is a dream come true. Throughout the night, winter storms dropped several feet of new snow on the slopes. The night ski patrol was put on full alert. Their mission was clear. With the potential of killer avalanches, they took to their posts. I began to weep as the vision continued to unfold along with its spiritual application. The ski patrol operated like a well-trained platoon. Some boarded helicopters manned with small bombs. Others jumped on snowmobiles loaded with handheld explosive devices. What seemed to be a strategic group of sharpshooters were stationed at the base, maneuvering anti-tank weapons aimed at the snow-covered peaks. They fired their weapons at strategic points in the avalanche zone to force avalanches before the snow accumulated to a life-threatening depth. Left unchecked, the accumulation of heavy, dense snow packed on top of lighter snow could easily slide down with incredible speed and force, resulting in enormous damage and loss of life. The Lord began to speak. I trembled. The fresh new snow represented the false teaching that is steadily falling on the ears of the body of Christ. It has been and is a heavy snowfall. The skiers represented believers and non-believers, trusting the resort for a safe and memorable experience. As Christians, we have been warned to be sober and vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. However, the present awe-inspiring teachings have lulled many into a deeper sleep. The layers upon layers of snow have been steadily covering the solid traditional truth of Christ. The truth is that foolish teaching in these days will become so fashionable, even the most dedicated believer could become deceived. Matthew 24:24. It's happening before our eyes. One spiritual leader said the other day, "You guys are old-fashioned holiness. We are modern-day grace. You live in bondage. while we can do anything we want. Pastors and teachers worldwide have succumbed to heretical teachings, including universal reconciliation, deification of man, challenging the validity of the Word of God, including His judgments, and even lifting any boundaries, claiming His amazing grace is actually amazing freedom. You are free to live according to your own desires. Sound familiar? They had no king and did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6. These popular self-proclaimed ministers of the gospel are covering the slopes and will be held accountable for the spiritual death of millions. Just as a ski patrol did in this vision, those who are aware of what's happening must take swift and accurate action. Their weapons of warfare must be aimed at the peaks and the avalanche terrain to dispel the lies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers must be willing to drop spiritual bombs, fire anti-heresy missiles, and even drive into the danger zones armed with explosive truth to confront this avalanche. The generals of this generation must leave the war room and put their years of experience on the front lines. Friend, I humbly encourage you to heed this vision and take it before the Lord. I've written it just as it was given. My responsibility is to share with the body of Christ His words to me. The ears that hear and the hands that obey are out of my control. This is not just Steve Hill telling a story. Most of what the Lord shares with me is personal and remains in my heart. But I sincerely believe that this is a warning for this hour. Satan is snowing the saints, but it can be stopped. In the vision, I heard explosions. I saw dedicated Christian soldiers scrambling to do anything it took to bring down this avalanche before devastation occurred. One of the most powerful weapons we possess to combat this onslaught is the tongue. Let God set yours ablaze by preaching all the words in red. If we take action now, the result will be a tearing down of false teaching and a remaining layer of solid, God-given, biblical instruction that will save the lost, heal the sick, and strengthen Christians to do the true work of the ministry.